Well, good morning, Northwest Bible Church. Glad that you guys are here on the last Sunday of this year. And for most of us, we have 1 week to prepare to hear Pastor Neil's favorite New Year's joke next Sunday. For those worshiping here and for those worshiping online, again, my name is Andrew Liu. I am the pastoral intern here at Northwest Bible Church, and it is a delight to be here with you guys this morning, to be in the Word this morning. So would you join me in prayer as we lift up this time to the Lord? Father, we thank you for your faithfulness that has brought us through this past year and your presence here with us by your indwelling Holy Spirit. Speak through your Spirit and your Word right now. Speak through me, your servant, as we look into your Word this morning. And may it be a reminder for us that you are our confident refuge amidst the chaos of the world around us. And this we pray in Jesus' name and by the Spirit, amen. Well, we've just finished our Advent series, and this Sunday is a Sunday where I get to preach something special. And this Sunday, we look back as the last Sunday of the year at 2025, and we look forward to 2026. And for most of us, as we've reflected on the year that has passed, you've probably looked back with joy and delight. You've looked back at God's faithfulness in your life, and you are looking with confidence at what the new year brings. But if I'm being honest, for some of us here, we look back at 2025, and even though the calendar might change in a few days, there's a lot of things in our lives, perhaps, that might remain the same. Perhaps there are certain things that we have struggled with this past year that we will continue to struggle with in the following year, and we are not perhaps as confident about the new year. And so I've always wanted to do this, and you see here on my left that we have our whiteboard, and so we'll do a little bit of a small group discussion time this morning. Friends, as you look towards the new year, as look at the world around us, as you look at your own life and reflect on these things, you see that I have this big word here, chaos. And I just want you to toss out, as you look at this and you reflect on life, on our world, on society, what words come to mind as you think about chaos? Just shout it out and I'll put it on the board. Sin. Politics. Politics, not just in the US, but all over the world is chaos, yes. War, war in Ukraine, the war in Israel, many places. Unforgiveness, yes. I don't know if I have enough space. Unforgiveness. Taxes, yes. You just produce anxiety on people that were wondering if it's tax season already. Yes, taxes, politics, anything else from this side? Fear, uncertainty. Anxiety, mental health, physical health, emotional health, spiritual health, right? So let's put health there. Okay, thank you for these words, and I'm sure there's many more that you are thinking of as you look at this word this morning. And again, as we look back at the year and we look forward to 2026, the reality of chaos is something that we have to contend with, right? And church, this is the second question that I have for us, right? First is, what are you thinking about when you look at chaos? But the second question is this: amidst the chaos, the reality that this is going to be with us continually as the new year comes around, what are you holding on to as your confidence, as your refuge, as your place of safety and security amidst the chaos? This is what our text confronts us with this morning. So if you have your Bibles with you, would you turn with me to Psalm 46 that Carolyn wonderfully read for us this morning? If you do not have a Bible, there is a Bible that looks like this in the seat back in front of you. It's in page 441, Psalm 46. And as you are turning there, let me give us a quick rundown of our time this morning. Through our study in this psalm, we'll look at three C's this morning. First, we'll look at the chaos that the psalmist writes about that is all over them and the people of Israel. And second, we're going to look about we're going to look at the confidence that the psalmist places in Yahweh as his refuge. And finally, we're going to end with a challenge that the psalmist gives the people of God then and gives us today. Got that? Chaos, confidence, challenge. So let's look at that first C, chaos in the earth and among the nations. Look at verse 1 with me, verse 1 and 2. The psalmist writes and starts this psalm with a confident statement. He says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, the psalmist concludes, therefore we will not fear. And why is he starting out his psalm with such a statement of confidence? Well, look at the rest of the verse, verse 2 and verse 3. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. And we see the psalmist here say that he will not fear despite the chaos in the earth that he sees, that mountains are moved into the heart of the sea. And most of us here perhaps grew up with mountains in our backyards or grew up in those very mountains. And as I've understood in my 5 years of living in Texas, that Colorado is the refuge from the Texas heat during the summers, right? That these mountains are geological features that we look at as sturdy and unchanging and solid things. And you can probably not imagine any other geological feature that is as trustworthy and unchanging as mountains. But the psalmist here is saying that these things might not be as sturdy as we thought that they are. And so the psalmist is writing about mountains moving into the heart of the sea. And scholars have looked at what he might be referring to here. And some believe that as the psalmist writes this psalm, he has literally just experienced this. That he has literally just experienced an earthquake in the kingdom, in the nation of Judah, that these mountains that he grew up looking at, he saw those cliffs get swallowed by the Mediterranean Sea as an earthquake rocked the cliffs of Judah, the seaside of Judah, and the waves of the Mediterranean Sea. He saw tsunami waves swallow up those cliffs and swallow these cliffs into the heart of the sea. And some scholars don't take it a little bit literally. They think about it a little bit more metaphorically, more symbolically. It's a psalm. And they say that perhaps the psalmist here is talking about waters as chaos. Waters as chaos. Because from the very beginning of your Bible, church, think about this. Genesis 1, the Spirit of God hovering over the chaos of the waters. Water has always represented in the sea in many ways. In your Bible is represented as chaos is represented by waters and the sea in most of your Old Testament. And so the psalmist is saying that the earth is shaken, literally shaken, that mountains are shaken by chaos all around him. Whether the author might be literally thinking of mountains or metaphorically, I think the point is clear. The earth may not be as stable as we thought it was. But it's not simply the earth that chaos actually is present. Jump down real quick with me to verse 6. Chaos is not limited to the earth, but also to the nations. Verse 6 says, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter. The kingdoms totter. And look at that word totter. And why is it that I'm saying that the chaos also approaches nations? Because that word totter there in verse 6 is the same Hebrew word that the psalmist uses for verse 2 when he talks about mountains being moved into the heart of the sea. The word here is shaken. is to be tumbled, is to totter and fall down. That he is saying geologically, mountains fall down into the sea amidst chaos, and nations and kingdoms likewise are shaken by chaos all around it. Whether geologically or politically, it seems that nowhere is safe from chaos on this earth. Nations themselves are in an uproar. Kingdoms totter and tumble all around. The people of Israel, we know this from the history of our scriptures. And so amidst the chaos and uncertainty of life, when chaos shakes the very foundations that we place our hopes, that we build our lives on, the psalmist is asking the people of God, what are you grabbing on to for safety and security? What are you grabbing on to as your confident refuge? We look back again, church, at this year, at 2025, and I think one thing that we all perhaps understand is that nations, man-made institutions, and even this earth cannot be our confidence, our refuge amidst chaos. Listen to this. Just in 2025, the researchers estimate that there were about 17,000 recorded earthquakes all over the world, just this last year alone. And an optimistic estimate says that about 8,000 people perished from these earthquakes. Again, as we thought about chaos, the war in Ukraine continues on even today. Israel and Palestine, Sudan had a civil war this year. And as I was researching for our time together, there's a nonprofit organization, ACLED, that stands for Armed Conflict Location and Event Data, ACLED. And they estimate that this year alone, 250,000 people, 250,000 people have died due to violence from conflict. There were protests in places like Nepal that had a government shift, in India, in my home country, the Philippines, and we talk about chaos of water. Just in the last few months, we've had these hearings because government officials that said that they had built seawalls to protect people from surging seas and ocean waves during typhoon season. They said that they had put it up on paper. They said that they put it up. They pocketed the money. And when you go there, those walls aren't there. And so many people died at the latter half of this year in the Philippines because of the chaos of the world all around us, the chaos of governments, like the Philippine government that we cannot put our confidence in. ACLED estimates that this year alone, listen to this, there were 170,000 protests all over our world. And that's a roughly 5% increase year over year. And so millennia after the psalmist has penned this psalm, it seems that we still face the same issues. We still live surrounded by chaos on this earth. And the question, again, friends, is when chaos shakes the foundations of our world, of our earth, of the things that we put our confidence on, where can we run to for safety and security? And this is what he is trying to answer in this psalm. Because chaos might seem to still be all around us, but likewise, there is something that has remained unchanged, and that is the confidence that the psalmist has in Yahweh. And that's our second C, confidence in Yahweh as God. Look at verse 1 and 2 again. The psalmist starts with this statement of confidence. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, the psalmist concludes, we will not fear. Amidst the chaos in the world that shakes the very foundations of the mountains, we will not fear because this is our confidence. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And look at the contrast here of the water language that we saw in verse 2 and 3 with verse 4. Look at verse 4. It says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. And this verse, again, in that contrast, It sounds great. Water equals life. Water means there's irrigation. Water means that there's drinking water. Water means the city of God is alive. It makes it glad. But let's just think about this for a little moment. And I'd love to explain this with an illustration. Any Lord of the Rings fans here? Raise your hand. Okay, more here in the second hour than the first hour. Anybody did a Lord of the Rings marathon over the holidays? Okay, a couple of people. Yeah, I know some of my small group did like all three movies. And so for those of us who haven't watched it, sorry, spoiler alert, you should have watched it by now, right? I highly recommend that you go watch it. Maybe this will make you watch it. But in the second movie, in the second book, we see this place called Helm's Deep. And we are told about this place. And let me give you just a little bit of background for those that need a refresher. You see, in the second book, there is this army of half-elf, half-orcs called the Uruk-hai army that Saruman has raised up. And they're marching, these Uruk-hai army, they march and they've caused chaos all over the kingdom of Rohan. They have attacked villages, they have killed people, they've pillaged, they've burned down these villages. They have caused chaos all over the kingdom of Rohan. And so the people of Rohan have all retreated to their kingdom, to their capital city, up on a hill, but they realize, the kingdom of Rohan realizes, he can't protect them there. And so we are led to believe, through the story, that there is this fortress that for the longest time that the kingdom of Rohan has existed, has been their final place of refuge. That if all else fails, this is where they will go. And that, on the screen, you can see is Helm's Deep. And why would they not find confidence in this stronghold, right? Behind that keep is a geological natural wall called the White Mountains. And so behind them, they are protected by the mountains. And so in front of them, people have erected this wall, and you can see it there going to the top, right? This huge wall where archers would stand atop these and shoot at their enemies. And so we are led to believe that Helm's Deep has never been broken into by any of the enemies of the kingdom of Rohan. But if you haven't noticed, and this is a key thing in the movie, right? And I've asked the graphics people to color it in, you can see that there is a river. There is a river that flows through the mount, down the White Mountains and through the keep and out that city wall. And I've asked them to actually encircle this little area where the river flows out of. And it is through that little area in the wall that the Uruk-hai army blow up this wall that they have put their confidence on, and chaos breaks into Helm's Deep. And friends, the point is this. A river flowing through your city is not actually a good thing. It's actually a weak spot unless you have the power to defend it. And so look at verse 4 and 5 again with me. The psalmist says, there is this river that flows through, whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High God. But listen to what he says. God is in the midst of her. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Unlike Helm's Deep, the psalmist writes that chaos cannot enter the city of God, not because of any geological feature or walls, not because of their might or the strength of the army, but simply because God is in her midst. And because God is in her midst, the city of God will not be moved. And I love this word moved. Look at verse 5. It says, she will not be moved. That same word is the same word in Hebrew that the psalmist uses in verse 2. Of mountains being moved into the heart of the sea. And in verse 6, where he says the kingdoms totter. Literally, the psalmist here is saying that mountains are shaken and tumble and totter, and kingdoms are shaken and totter and tumble. But the city of God, because God is in her midst, it literally is untumbleable. It is literally untotterable, that it is literally unshakable. Geographically, the river isn't an issue of earthly defense, nor are the nations any threat towards national defense. Look at verse 6 again. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. God utters his voice, the earth melts. No chaos on earth nor amidst the nations can shake the confidence that the psalmist and we can have in God as our refuge. The very presence of God in the city literally means it cannot be shaken. And you could think about Gandalf saying to the Balrog, you shall not pass. And God saying to Zion, the city of God, you shall not tumble. And so the psalmist continues with a statement of confidence in verse 7. But look at the language switch here compared to verse 1. Whereas in verse 1, he says, God, Elohim, is our refuge and strength. In 7, he says, the Lord. And church, remember that when your Bible uses this capital L-O-R-D, the Lord, it is the personal name, the covenantal name, the divine name of the one true God, Yahweh. Yahweh, the I am, Yahweh of angel armies. That's what hosts means there. Yahweh of angel armies is with us. And not only is this personal God with us, this is the God who has proven himself faithful. The God of Jacob is our fortress, says the psalmist. The God of Jacob, the God of their fathers, the God of whom has protected them throughout generations, the very reason for why the psalmist and his people and the people of Israel can even sing this psalm, because God has protected them, and the reason why we get to be here this Sunday, the God who has remained faithful to us even today. God is our stronghold. And so church, is God your stronghold? Right? That is the question. That is the confidence that the psalmist is placing, and that makes us try to ask ourselves, is this our confidence? And you see, you don't start looking for shelter from the rain up until it starts raining. And perhaps this is what chaos does. Right? That it's not the absence of chaos, but actually the reality of chaos in our life that reminds us that we need shelter. That we need shelter not from things that we cannot really place our confidence on, but we need shelter from the one true God in whom we can place our confidence. And so, with confidence, the psalmist continues. Look at verse 8. He tells the people this double request. Come, behold. Come, draw near and behold and see the works of Yahweh. What are the works of Yahweh? How he has wrought desolations on the earth. But what kind of things does he bring? Verse 9, he makes wars cease to the end of the earth. Notice again the repetition of the themes of earth and nations there. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear, burns the chariots with fire. The nations that carry these weapons to war, well, they don't need those anymore when Yahweh comes into the picture. And so the psalmist ends this psalm, verse 11, with the same statement of confidence that he started with. Yahweh of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And so the confidence of the psalmist, it's not in the city of God. It's not in Jerusalem. It's not in the armies of Jerusalem. It's not in any nations. It's not in Babylon or Egypt or Assyria. It's not in nations like the United States or the United Kingdom. No, the Colorado Mountains cannot be our refuge. Only God can be our refuge amidst the chaos in our life, in our world. Only Yahweh is our refuge and strength. Only Yahweh is our very present help in trouble. Only Yahweh is our confidence amidst chaos. And so we've looked at the first two C's. We've looked at chaos in the earth and among the nations. And we've looked at the confidence that the psalmist places in Yahweh through this psalm. And so we end with the final C, the challenge. The challenge that he gives the people of God then, and the challenge that he gives us today. K chaos, confidence, challenge. And some of you might have noticed that I skipped reading verse 10. So let's read that now, a verse familiar to most of us. Psalm 46:10 reads, "Be still and know that I am God." That is Yahweh now speaking to his people. Yahweh himself giving the challenge to the people. And again, a double command, be still and know. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And so, church, the challenge that I want to give us today through this text is this: to let go and to know that Yahweh is God. To let go and to know that Yahweh is God. Let me explain why that is the statement that I'm giving. When Pastor Neil asked if I could preach on this specific Sunday, I knew that I wanted to preach on Psalm 46. Because Psalm 46 verse 10, and perhaps it is also for you, is my life verse. Be still and know that I am God. I love that verse. And I remember as a young kid, amidst the chaos of things happening in my family, amidst chaos in relationship, I remember praying this verse. I would remember praying, "Andrew, be still, and know that Yahweh is God." And later when I moved to China and I was surrounded by chaos, I did not speak the language, I did not understand the culture, I did not understand what people were saying, how they did things, and I was just surrounded by so much chaos in my life, I remember praying this prayer, "Andrew, be still. Be still and know that Yahweh is God." But as I put to work the education that I'm getting from DTS and I studied this text and as I prepared for it and as I looked at what that word "be still" really meant, I realized that I had misunderstood a little bit what this verse was actually saying. That the "be still" there isn't a passive, waiting around, doing nothing. But the "be still" here is the Hebrew word harpo. It literally is this, that you literally open your hand, that you slacken your grip, that you drop whatever it is that is in your hand. And the context is verse 9, that nations that carry the bow and the spear and ride the chariots into war, Yahweh is saying, harpo, let go, drop those things that you have placed your confidence on and know that I am God. That is what that verse means. God will be the one exalted among the nations. God will be the one exalted in the earth. And so again, church, my challenge for us today is this: to let go and know that Yahweh is God. And so three ways that I've thought about how we could apply this, especially as we look towards the new year. Head, heart, hands. Start with the head. Go back to our board, right? We've looked at the chaos. The chaos that we've thought about. War and sin and fear and politics and health. Unforgiveness. Taxes. Right? And those C's are meant for us to remember very easily that amidst the chaos that I'm sure we will face next year, hopefully that chaos will make us think about what our confidence is on. Perhaps our confidence is on these things that can be shaken by chaos and so cannot be trusted. Perhaps it is family. It is your health. Perhaps it is in yourself that you believe that you can control what happens next year. And chaos shakes those foundations and reminds us that we are not God, but rather we do have a God that we can run to. And that is the confidence, right? So chaos challenging your confidence, and then remind yourself of the challenge. Let go and know that Yahweh is God. Let go of the things that you are controlling, that you are holding onto in your hand, and relax your grip and know that Yahweh is God. Head, heart. As I was studying Psalm 46, I encountered this amazing story that amidst famine, amidst church unrest and societal unrest, amidst literal uncertainty of what the future would bring, one of our church fathers, Martin Luther, in the early years of the Reformation, has been known, and historians have recorded it, that he has been known to say to his friends and his fellow brothers and sisters in the church, whenever they are faced with a chaos, during that time, he has been known to say, "Come, friends, let us sing the 46th Psalm." And for us, perhaps the head thing doesn't work, and so we need to speak to our heart. And so Martin Luther would tell them, sing this song, and we have the song that Martin Luther wrote called "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, a Bulwark Never Failing." And perhaps for you, it's a song that reminds you, challenges you to place your confidence on God. And just this morning, as I was praying for our time together, I thought about two more songs. Let me share those with you. One is "Because He Lives." Because Jesus lives, I can face tomorrow. Because Jesus lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And the other song that I thought about is this: "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." And we just finished the Advent series, and just a couple days ago on Christmas Eve, Pastor Neil talked about presence, right? On what it means to practice the presence of God. And perhaps this is it, that perhaps your challenge is to sing and remind yourself, maybe I need to pray about this right now. Maybe I need to stop whatever chaos is going on and just find refuge in the Lord. So head, heart, and finally hands. You've probably noticed that I've been doing this action. And again, I want us to be left with this challenge to let go and to know that Yahweh is God. And why do I say this? It's because that's what God commands here, to let go and know that He is God. And so I've come up with this simple thing that I do with my hands. And Veronica and I have done this a couple times in the past few months as we've wrestled with the chaos. You know, this is our first Christmas here in Dallas, and some of you understand the repercussions of that in relationships, of choosing to stay here. And so we've prayed, okay, there's something that we are holding onto as our confidence, and we need to let go of that, and we need to know that Yahweh is God. And so this is what I want to leave with you. And so would you join me and extend both of your hands right now as we wrap up our time together? And as you look again at this board, as you look at the year that is ahead, I want you to look at your left hand, and I want you to clench it. I want you to think of the things that you are holding on to when chaos is all around you. Perhaps that is, again, yourself, your family, your career, your health, other people around you, people pleasing. And I want you to open up your left hand as you physically, embodiedly let go. But you don't stop there, but on your right hand, you look at it and you clench. And you clench your right hand and you think about all the ways that God has been faithful to you this year. That God has loved you and sustained you. That God is the one that has dealt with death for you. And so we can have a future, a tomorrow, one filled with hope. And you clench your right hand as you know that Yahweh is God. So let go and know that Yahweh is God. Again, friends, I know that as the year ends, there will be many times that the foundations of our life, of our society, of our earth is shaken by the chaos that is the reality of this world that we live in, of things not yet supposed to be because of sin. But we have hope that one day God will bring the full and final peace. And so, as we end, let's all stand. And we'll sing about the confidence we have in Christ as our firm foundation. Christ is our confidence amidst the chaos of our world as we remember to let go and know that He is God.